Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Brownie, you're doing a heck of a job. The FEMA director is working 24.
It's to fight these indelicate, indelible images of the George W. Bush presidency that a book like Decision Points arrives in bookstores.
When I sat down to write my memoirs, I decided to take an untraditional approach. Rather than provide an exhaustive chronological account of my life and years in office, I wanted to give readers a glimpse of the presidency from my perspective. That meant focusing on the most demanding and important part of the job, making decisions.
And so the decider himself begins the long road to win the hearts and minds of history, re-etch the image of a repudiated presidency, and to perhaps chase the off chance of getting an aircraft carrier named after it.
Officers and sailors of the USS Abraham Lincoln, my fellow Americans, major combat operations in Iraq have ended.
Things did eventually turn around in Iraq, but maybe for W, just a simple resurrection would do.
Because people have got to know whether or not their president's a crook. Well, I'm not a crook. I've earned everything I've got.
Richard M. Nixon is only one of the more recent examples. As a number of presidents can attest, the road back from a difficult stint in the White House is a long one. And most presidents repudiated by voters or scandal haven't even tried. Warren Harding, Millard Fillmore, Franklin Pierce, Andrew Johnson all live on in the pantheon of presidential oblivion. But Richard Nixon did more than try to retrieve his legacy from Watergate, imminent impeachment, and resignation.
I have never been a quitter. To leave office before my term is completed is abhorrent to every instinct in my body. But as president, I must put the interests of America first.
13 books, and 20 years later, Nixon was a respected author whose historical accounts were read and valued by historians. But the best you can say, in the grand scheme of things, is that Nixon is mostly remembered for not being a crook. Being a crook is not this president's historical problem.
Late yesterday, I canceled a carefully planned operation which was underway in Iran to position our rescue team for a later withdrawal of American hostages who've been held captive there since November 4th.
Then Jimmy Carter, the bright promise after Nixon's Watergate in the 1970s, presided over that hostage crisis, a debacle of a rescue mission, 11% inflation, an energy shortage, and was sent back to Georgia after one term. He has authored or co-authored 28 books, won a Nobel Prize, and while recasting his legacy as a peacemaker, still got only 90 seconds in a pre-taped video message out of primetime on the first day of the Democratic Convention back in 2008.
My fellow Americans, the state of our union is the strongest it has ever been.
Bill Clinton is popular. His book was an impenetrable dud, though. And there is the lingering sense that the Clinton Global Initiative has a slightly local angle for future Clinton biographers to consider. And then Herbert Hoover, who might have wished for Bill Clinton's problems, having been blamed for the Depression.
We are told by the opposition that we must have a change, that we must have a new deal. It is not the change that comes from the normal development of national life to which I object or you object, but the proposal to alter the whole foundations of our national life, which have been built through generations of testing and struggle and the principle upon which we have made this nation.
Hoover had perhaps the most distinctive comeback line for his many critics, remarking before his death in 1964, "I outlived the bastards." George W. Bush has many years ahead of him to work on his legacy. His new book, Decision Points, will be, historically speaking, a baby step forward.
My job is to protect this country, Matt. And I'm going to, within the law. And it gets second-guessed all the time by people who don't live in the United States. But let me remind you, September the 11th for them was a bad day. For us, it was a change of attitude.
President President George W. Bush speaking with Matt Lauer, beginning his comeback on his Decision Points book tour. Joining us now is Karen Holt, former deputy editor of Publishers Weekly, who contributes book reviews to O, the Oprah Magazine, and Essence. Karen Holt, what do you think? Is Decision Points a baby step back for George W. Bush, or maybe bigger than that?
No, I think you're correct. I think it is a baby step. I mean, typically these books reveal how the president wants to be seen and very little else.
And in terms of history, I mean, you've got, on the one hand, Nixon, who created this giant set of tomes about his presidency, which maybe they weren't fabulous reads, but are certainly an important historical document. And then at the other end of the sort of memoir scale, you've got Ulysses S. Grant, who actually wrote a huge bestseller that's still in print today.
Right, right. Well, the fact that Grant's memoir is still considered the gold standard for presidential memoirs, and this was 100 years ago, I mean, I think that should tell you something about these books.
So as a publisher, if you were a publisher, you wouldn't go near a presidential memoir based on the sales track record?
Well, not necessarily. I mean, they do hit the bestsellers list. I mean, they're not necessarily the most profitable books because of how expensive usually they are to acquire, but they do hit bestseller lists. And, you know, it's also a very prestigious thing to be publishing a presidential memoir.
Are memoirs purely about the sort of self-interest of the presidents who write them, or do they form a historically important component of figuring out what the era was all about?
It's self-interest. I mean, I doubt very much that whatever President Bush's legacy ends up being will be very heavily dependent on this memoir. But again, what it reveals is what does this president want us to think about him? And I think there is some value, or at the very least, it's interesting to know that.
It's interesting, the bar, though, of other presidents. I mean, Carter, 28 books and a Nobel Prize. I mean,
right.
And he still is in the doghouse with the Democrats. I mean, it's really tough to come back.
Well, it is, but I think President Carter is kind of a different situation, because I don't know that he really wants to be an insider among the Democrats. If you look at some of the books he's published, I mean, you know, Palestine, what was it, Peace or Apartheid? I mean,
right.
That's not exactly a book that you write if you want to be the most popular guy in school.
Right. In fact, he got all kinds of criticism for referring to Israel's policy in the West Bank and Gaza as apartheid. So
Exactly. Yeah. So I don't know that he's really trying all that hard to become an insider.
One comment on the Clinton memoir before we go.
You know, the Clinton memoir was, it was huge. It was rambling. It was in some ways unreadable, but there were flashes of brilliance in it, and I think it very much reflected the man himself.
And perhaps he should take some lessons from his wife in terms of book sales.
You know, there may be a lot of things that he could take lessons from her about.
Ooh, it sounds like your book, Karen Holt, former deputy editor of Publishers Weekly, talking about the Bush book, Decision Points, which is in stores on Tuesday. A big interview with Matt Lauer is on NBC News today. Thank you, Karen.
Thank you.
And we're looking for your response about the President Bush's memoir. Do you think the president can reframe his legacy? And could the memoir change your opinion of a character as famous as our former president? Let us know. Or if there's something in there that you're hoping to read about, give us your take at 877-8-MY-TAKE or leave a comment at our website, thetakeaway.org.
I'm John Huckabee.
And I'm Celeste Headlee. This is The Takeaway.